If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Thank the Lord for the privilege again to be here. My wife and I was talking about it last night. I think this is the only meeting out of some 40 or 45 that goes by this quick. Some we feel like we're there forever. I'm glad when we get to heaven, it won't go by quick, will it? Amen. Appreciate all that you've done for us these days and on a monthly basis. All of those who have had us out to eat, over to eat, and brought food in, we thank you for all that kindness that you've shown us. Bringing a closing thought out of the book of Revelation tonight. We have been looking at a little phrase, maybe you that have come in tonight, that appears 38 times in the Bible. Of course, repetition in the Bible is God's megaphone. He's hoping if he says it enough, maybe somebody will hear it. And the little phrase that I speak of is in the midst, in the midst. And we've told you each time we have been fascinated by a couple of things with the phrase. One is its definition. The little phrase has the idea of a place of authority, the centerpiece, the control center, if you will. Everything flowing out of there, everything flowing in there. Of course, our question this week has been, is he in the midst of your life? Is he the centerpiece of your life? Is he the control center? The little phrase has, in our language, the little word preempt. Sometime a show will come on TV, a special bulletin, and they'll say all the other shows have been preempted. If he's in the center of your life, it preempts everything else. Want to try to find out what he's doing, and that's what you want to do. He preempts everything. We've looked at it several times. We looked at his teaching authority, Christ, in the midst of our intaking. As a 12-year-old boy, he's down there in the midst of the Pharisees and scribes and the lawyers. What's he doing? Oh, he's running the show down there. You heard of the God man, it's the God boy. He's all God then, as much God then as he ever been. And then we brought some thoughts on the gathering authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our undertaking. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst. You can ask what you want, I'll do it. You got two or three together and he's in the midst. You got a quorum, you can transact divine business. Teaching authority. Gathering authority. And then we looked one night at the dying authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our upper taking. And he's hanging on the cross. He had one thief on this side, one thief on that side. Where was he at? Bible said he's in the midst. He's running the whole show while he's hanging on the cross. Everything's being done out there. Everything's being done to him. He's calling all the shots. He pre-planned the whole thing. What was he doing on the cross? Isaiah 53 says he's having a baby. Yes, he was birthing me on the cross. You say you got born again in 68. Oh, no, I got born again on the cross. He had a baby. He birthed me into this world on the cross. He didn't die hoping I'd get saved. Oh, no. Suppose nobody got saved. He'd had egg all over his face. I tell you, you better have him as the center of your life or he'll never be the center of your dying. And then last evening, we brought some thoughts on the filling authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our overtaking. He came there in the midst of the upper room. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. You better have had a time in your life where you experienced a divine takeover. Tonight, I want to turn our attention to the book of Revelations. And the little phrase, in the midst, appears a few times in this book. I want to bring some thoughts tonight on the crowning authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our partaking. Before we look at these thoughts, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about this crowning ceremony that will go on in heaven one day. I was wondering if there will be anything on his head that belongs to you. Will there be anything on his head that belongs to you? If he is not the centerpiece of your life, will you answer this to this question? Absolutely not. There will be nothing on his head that belongs to me. At this crowning ceremony, I wanted to ask you this tonight. Will you be a participant or will you be a spectator? Will you have anything to cast at his feet or will you just look on while we do it? Be awful embarrassing for you if you've lived your life with you as the centerpiece of your life. Well, preacher, all I want to do to get to heaven. I want to do more than just get there. Crowning authority. Christ in the midst of my partaking. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 9. He says, I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I was in the isle that called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, first and the last. He says, what thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches. He mentions the seven churches. John said in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And, preacher, you got any idea where Jesus is going to be in heaven? Yeah, he's going to be the centerpiece. He's going to be the control center. Everything going to flow out of him. Everything going to flow to him. He's going to run the show. He says, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You got the Bible there, chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh, where's he going to be walking at? If he ain't walking in him, he'll be around him. He's the centerpiece. He's in the midst. He's always the centerpiece. I tell you, you better get used maybe making him the centerpiece in your life right now, because he's going to be the centerpiece there. Chapter number 5, Revelation, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, where? Hey, preacher, you got any idea where his throne is in heaven? I want to know how to get there when I get there. Oh, yeah, just look for the center of heaven. That's right where it'll be. Everything be flowing out of there. It's the control center. He says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. I asked you again tonight, at this crowning ceremony, anything be on his head belongs to you. If you have not made him the center of your life tonight, you're laying up treasures on this earth where moth and rust will get to them. He's not the center of your life. You're not laying up treasures in heaven. At that crowning ceremony, you'll be a spectator. You won't be a participant. Begin to unpack these thoughts tonight. I notice in Revelation chapter number 1, the crowning comforter. Crowning comforter. Chapter number 1. John has gone through some dark hours when he writes this book. He has been dipped in a vat of boiling oil. He has had most of his skin burn off. And now he is exiled to a deserted island there. And that'd be a good time for you and I, if we were there, to suck our thumbs and whine about what's going on. Maybe if we could get some charcoal together and maybe a piece of wood, we'd write a little note and throw it in the water. Maybe someone would get it and bring us some ibuprofen because we're hurting so bad. But on this island, the Bible says in verse number 9, he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that's called Patmos. He says, on the Lord's day, he says, I heard a voice. You're the crazy nut. He's the only one out there. And it's Sunday, and he's going to have church. What in the world are crazy nut doing? He's making Christ the center of everything that's going on. He's interested that maybe there'd be something on Jesus' head that belongs to him when it's all said and done. He wants to be a participant in this crowning ceremony and not a spectator. I notice in the text that there's the voice of the Comforter. He said in verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I thought it was interesting. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. Here, there's a trumpet. And then over in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, there's a trumpet. In the Old Testament, there are two trumpets. There's a trumpet that is sounded for the people to assemble together. That's exactly the trumpet that John has heard here in verse number 10. He's heard that trumpet and it has caused him to get together. Well, who's at church that morning? Ain't nobody there but John and Jesus. That's all I'm saying. They assembled themselves together. The other time there was a trumpet blowed in the Old Testament, they blowed the trumpet when they was going to move out. So here we got the first trumpet, they're going to assemble together. But in Revelation chapter number 4, they sound the trumpet, and he says, come up here. We're going to move out. Amen. That is the next trumpet we're listening for, isn't it? The trumpet that we're going to move out. The voice of comfort tonight. It was like a great moving waters tonight. Oh, as we wait for him to come tonight, if he's in the center of our life, he'll comfort us in those dark hours. We'll hear that voice of comfort. We'll hear that encouraging word of comfort. But if he's not in the center of your life, you won't hear Jack in your dark hour. Are you listening to me tonight? There's the voice of comfort tonight. I see in our text tonight, there's the victor of comfort. He says in verse number 12 and 13, he says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. He says in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. John said, when I saw him, he said he was sitting on a throne. Where's the throne at, John? He said, it's a centerpiece of everything going on up there. John said, what I was fascinated about, he had a golden girdle on, though. Hey, John, where'd he have that golden girdle at? John said he had it on his paps. Middle Eastern men would wear a girdle around their waist so they could pull their robe up when they worked and when they run. It was late in the evening when they got done working, they would pull their girdle up on their paps. I always said to let the fat hang out. John said, when I saw him, said he had his girdle up on his paps. John, what'd you think about that? He said, the only thing I could finish, he was finished. He ain't going to do nothing else. Wow. I tell you, he's been done a long time. Did you know everything that's happened to you, he's already did it up there, and now it's happening down here? Well, what's he doing? He's sitting. Hey, Bill and Hillary ain't never got him up. Oh, no, he ain't never got up but a couple of times. Got up for Stephen's homecoming. He got up for that. Oh, ain't nothing got him. Your little old mess ain't never got him up. How come? He's in the control center. He's in the midst. or it'll be a comfort to you tonight. He ain't up there wringing his hand. Oh, how are they going to make it through this? No.
Amen.
The victor of comfort. The voice of comfort. I'm glad of that tonight, aren't you? The crowning comforter. Going to be anything on his head tonight? Belongs to you. Are you putting all your treasures down here? 24 hours in a day, and all of it's about getting some more stuff, investing some more stuff down here. You're laying up treasures up there tonight. I notice in our text tonight, if you've got the Bible there in chapter number 2, not only is there the crowning comforter, but there's the crowning constrainer. I notice in chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4, there is a constraining rebuke. He says, I know thy works. He says, I know what you've been doing. He said, I've been watching you. He said, I've been giving you 24 hours a day. And he said, I've been watching you. He said, you've been spending most of them for yourself. Pay your little old bills and buy your little stuff. And he said, you just keep buying more so you have to work some more and buy some more. He said, I've been watching you. I see it. He said, I see your works. He says, thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear. He said, I see you going over there to Holly Springs and say, oh, we hate the devil, we hate sin. But you still just keep investing in this world. You just keep putting deeper roots down here. He said, I've been watching. He said, I'm seeing it. He said, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles or not and have found liars. He says, and has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. He said, nevertheless, he said, I've been watching you. And he said, I noticed that you've left your first love. Yes. Left your first love. Sharp rebuke. Thou hast left your first love. You know, tonight, there's a great difference tonight in loving the Lord and being in love with the Lord.
Listen.
Big difference.
Listen.
I was wondering tonight if you have that honeymoon, silly, giddy. You ever watch these couples around here that just got married or they just are fixing to get married? They stupid silly. That's what he says you've left. He said, I notice you quit getting stupid and silly. He said, I notice you come over here now. You listen to me tonight. I think about this gal sitting over here. I've been married 50 years to her. When I first met her, I get on a bus at Port Authority in New York City every Friday afternoon. Greyhound bus. Ride 9 hours to Portsmouth, Virginia. Stay with her almost every hour. Between Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And sometimes the bus would come in at Portsmouth, but we knowed if we'd go to Norfolk, we had an extra 30 minutes. So many times we'd go over to Norfolk and not catch it in Portsmouth. And I'd ride the bus 9 more hours back to New York City, get off the bus at Port Authority, and go right to work at 39 Whitehall Street in Manhattan. Just what are you doing that for? You love her? God forbid. I was in love with her.
Right.
See, when you're in love with somebody, it causes you to do silly things. You get that honeymoon love, that giddy love tonight. I'm asking you tonight, have you gotten beyond that tonight? Have you gotten over that tonight? If you're ever going to invest in heaven tonight, if he's ever going to be the centerpiece of your life, you must get back there.
Oh, yes. Yes. Amen.
You mean to tell me tonight if I had that honeymoon giddy love for him tonight, it would be asking too much for the one that I'm going to marry one day in heaven? Would it be asking too much for him if somebody in this choir here tonight, they sung about the one that I'm going to marry, Jesus, they kept saying his name over and over again. Would it be too much if I got this honeymoon giddy love? Would it be too much for me to say, amen? Would it be too much for me to raise a hand when they're talking about the one that I'm going to marry one day and say, hallelujah? That's if I had that honeymoon giddy love. But some of us have gotten over it. You know how come you've gotten over it, don't you? Because he is not the centerpiece of your life. And you know what? Ain't nothing going to be on his head that belongs to you. And you shall be a spectator at the crowning ceremony. Talking about a constraining rebuke. Matter of fact, I got to thinking. I thought maybe here tonight we would do a love temperature. I brought my love thermometer with me. I thought maybe we'd just stick the love thermometer in each one of your mouths. We'll wait for the beeps to go off on our love thermometer. Our love thermometer, one, is far away from God. Cold, dry, almost dead. 10, red hot, giddy, silly type of love. Beep, 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 beep. We hold it up to the light so we get an accurate reading on yours. What you reckon yours is? Oh, preacher, I ain't no heathen. Ain't no one. I ain't gonna be no lying hypocrite here at the Baptist church. I know I ain't no 10. What you reckon you are? 4, 5 maybe, somewhere in there. Oh. You lukewarm. He said, I'm going to puke you out of my mouth one day. Yeah. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. See, if he's the centerpiece of your life, you're constantly wanting to be a 10. It's the only thing that'll satisfy you. Oh, you very seldom ever get that red hot. It's always the desire of your heart. You want to be a 10. You're listening to me tonight. Talking about the constraining rebuke. I notice in chapter 2 of Revelations, there's a constraining reminder. Although we might not have an intimate relationship with him, you may not have honeymoon love with him. But he says in verse 1 of chapter number 2, he uses some words that fascinate me. So applicable to us. He says there in verse number 1, he holdeth. Tonight you may be ignoring him. But if you're one of his children tonight, you may not have him as the centerpiece of your life, but he's still holding you. Are you listening to me tonight? Not only does he say he's holding us, he says he walks with us. You may not be walking with him. You may not center up with him. You may not have him as the center of your life, but he's walking with you. He says in verse number 2, he says, I know you. You may not be seeking to know him. You may not have a quest like the Apostle Paul that I might know him. He's the centerpiece. I want to know more about him. That may not be your push tonight. But if you're one of him, he said, I know you.
Yeah. I got to thinking. Of course, she tells me sometimes why my sermon's so long because I think too much. I got to thinking, if he's holding me, I wonder what would happen if I was to go to holding him. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get that. They call that hugging. Well,
Ooh. Wow. Oh. He says here in our text, he says he walketh with us. Can you imagine if I decided he's walking with me, if I decided I'm going to start walking with him? He says he knows me. Oh, wouldn't it be something if I was to get on a quest tonight to know him, to know all about him? I was thinking again today, a little story I read several years ago. As a country club, and the ladies of the country club, they had a reading club, and they choose a different book every year, and they would read that book, and then they sit around, drink coffee, and discuss the book every week. And one year they had picked a book, and one of the more wealthier ladies at the book club, she showed out. Absolutely not. I don't want to read nothing by him. Just ugly. And so they changed and got another book. Well, the next year, they were picking the book. And this old gal, the same gal that got so mad, she's promoting a book by this guy. And one of the other ladies in the club, she leaned over to another lady and she said, "Wasn't she about cussing him last year?" She said, "You ain't heard?" And she said, "No, what?" She said, "She's engaged to be married to him." This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. If you're engaged to be married to the author of this book, you probably want to spend a lot of time in his book. That's if you want to have something on his head that belongs to you when it's all said and done. I'm talking about the crowning constrainer. You have the Bible there, Revelation chapter 5. Crowning authority, Christ in the midst of my partaking. Where are you laying up your treasures at tonight? Where are you investing all your time at tonight? Your energy, your money. Where are you investing it? Investing it in things that are eternal. Ain't but two things in this room to last forever. People and the Word of God. It's the only way you can invest in treasures tonight. Invest your time and your energy and money in people and in the Word of God. Lay up treasures in heaven. I notice in chapter number 5 there is the crowning conqueror. Mentions in verse 6 the text that I read tonight. He mentions a lamb as though it had been slain. There's a conquering lamb. This little word lamb that John uses here is a word for a little lamb. It is in the book of Revelations that this little lamb takes on a serpent, a dragon, and a beast and conquers them all. Who is this lamb? Oh, that's my lamb. That's where I'm investing all my energies at. That's where I want to invest my treasures. Because on crowning day, I want something to be on his head that belongs to me. Amen. Talking about the conquering lamb. Yeah. I see in the text, in verse number 5, there's a conquering lion. He says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David." Over in Revelation chapter 22, he calls him the root and offspring of David. Time out! Hold on! You cannot be the root and offspring of a person tonight. You cannot be their daddy and their son all at the same time. He said that David sprung out of me, and I sprung out of David. I was David's father, and I was David's son all at the same time. You can't do that. Unless you were God. Which if you was God, you could probably do that. I come across this the other day. Grace helped me so much. He says he's the root of David, the root and offspring. Paul says over in Romans that he has grafted us. We were a wild olive branch, a dead stick didn't have any connection on either side, didn't have any green photosynthesis. It was a brown stick. It was dead. It would have crunched if you stuck it. He said that he grafted me into the family of God. Please forgive me. I've always thought that he grafted me into the trunk. No. Paul said he grafted me into the root. I'm connected underground where you can't see it. He went way down there in the secret world and stuck me. The devil couldn't pull me out because he can't find out where I'm connected. I love the hound out of that, don't you? That'll give you that honeymoon giddy love. You get crazy. It's a conquering line. This lion, this root and offspring of David, his life is marked by two impossible things. Jesus' life was marked by two impossible things. A virgin womb and an empty tomb. Both of those were impossible things. He came into this world through a door that said no entrance. I did not know, and I hate to tell you, especially you girls and boys that are fixing to get married. He came here through a virgin womb. You can't do that. No entrance there. But yet he came into this world through a door that said no entrance. It's bigger than that. He went out of here through a door that said no exit. Wow. Hey, you can't go out of this world without. Tomorrow night, you're going to see a dead man laying right here. They're going to put him in the ground. That is the only way you can go out of here. But yeah, he went out through a door. It's not an exit. It's an empty tomb. There's no body in his tomb. There's no DNA. He didn't leave nothing. How did he do that? Root and offspring of David tonight. He's a conquering lion. He's a conquering lamb tonight. What I see in closing tonight, there's a conquering lesson. Chapter 3, verse number 11, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take." Don't let this world take your crown. Don't get all hooked up in this world and not get your crown. Don't miss having him centered up in your life. Have that crown. He's still here. Chapter 4 and verse 10. 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast. They've come now. One day you and I are going to come. If we have received any rewards or crowns, we'll take them off our heads and we'll cast them at his feet. I'm asking you tonight, are you going to be a participant or just a spectator? Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 11. "And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. Please don't pinch me and wake me up. I know they say this is symbolic. It's not going to really happen. You can believe that if you want to. If you happen to get left here after the rapture, and when we come back, you look for me on CNN News. Fox News will be closed up by then. CNN News, they'll be there to tell the story. You look for me. I'm going to be riding on that white horse. I'm coming in there riding with him." Oh, but watch the text. It's bigger than that. It said, "I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Righteous, he does judge and make war. His eyes were a flame and fire, and on his head were many crowns." Plural. All those crowns that have been cast at his feet, the angels have done collected them, and he's got them stacked sky high on top of his head when we come riding into Jerusalem. I'm asking you tonight, will there be anything on his head that belongs to you? Will you be a spectator, or will you be a participant tonight? Are you investing in this world all your energy, all your time, all your ways, all your treasures tonight? Or are you laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot get to them? I was thinking again today about a little story I read some time ago about a couple. They were rock collectors. He collected rocks from all over the world. Their house was a rock museum. People would come from all over the world to see their rocks. Fascinating. They had rocks from all points of the world. They've gone and collected them. I got to think it, craziest thought. It's just a crazy thought. Can you imagine them one day bowing in heaven and telling God, let me show you my rocks?
Yeah.
You imagine tonight you bowing in heaven one day and showing God all your pretties, all your possessions, all your stuff, all your things tonight. He won't be impressed. It'll only be when we have invested in the world to come. I love the way the old songwriter put it. He said, the sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The sure morn I've sighed for. The fair, sweet morn awake. Dark, dark hath been the midnight. But day spring is at hand. Glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The King there in his beauty without a veil is seen. It is there a well-spent journey, though seven deaths lay between. The Lamb with his fair army doth on Mount Zion stand. And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. I love this verse. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. We're headed tonight to Emmanuel's land. What are you doing to invest here for there tonight? At the crowning ceremony, will there be anything on his head that belongs to you? Will you be a participant, or will you be a spectator? Christ, crowning authority, Christ in the midst of my partaking. I don't know about you. I really do. Want to be a participant at the crowning ceremony. Don't you? Don't you want to have something to cast at his feet? He can't cast your junk at his feet. He don't need no cars. He don't need no houses. He owns everything. Only as we have invested in eternal things that would get us crowns. We're standing tonight. Our heads are bowed. Preacher's coming. Thank you for letting me preach to you these days.
Miss Rebecca, you and Jessica and Kim come. Sing for me, Give Him the Glory. Can I remind you what we said just the other Sunday? Crowns are not for wearing. They are for casting. Crosses are not for carrying. They're for crucifying, dying on. when he is in the center, self is crucified, and he gives us a crown that we can give back to him. They're singing. If you need to do something, you ought to get at it. Altar's open.
Do you remember when you were drowning in a sea of sin, going down for the last time before you called on his name? He reached down his nail-pierced hands and he lifted you.
Remind you, he shares a lot of stuff. He shares all kind of things with us, but he will not share his glory, and he won't share the sinner's spot either. He'll not share the sinner's spot with you. You got to have it. He'll say, there it is. You want drive? He'll say, there's the wheel. It's when you and I drive it in the ditch. It'd be a good thing tonight. It'd be a good thing tonight to get him in to be in the center and have him in the center. Sing a little more. Sing a little more. Sing a little more.
Go books. I'm going to pray with my daughter.
Do you remember when, with all your heart, you longed to serve Him, but you didn't think that Jesus could ever use someone like you? Oh, but look how He's used your
say hallelujah. The Lord has truly answered our prayer. For He has bared His arm. He has done things seen and unseen this week. He bears His arm when He gets in the midst. So, preacher, I don't know. I didn't see much anything happening this week. I didn't see His arm bared. That tells me about your center and who's there and who's there. I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God and what God has done in these days together. Amen. I want to encourage you to be sure to speak to Brother Tom and Miss Beth. Let them know you appreciate him. He'll head out in the morning and go home for a day or so, and then he'll head back out again. Amen. You be praying for him. Remember the service tomorrow night for Preacher John. And remember again the Glover family in these next several days as well. Amen. Father, I thank you for bearing your arm. Father, I thank you for revealing yourself through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the good singing we've had this week. But God, it's been through your preaching. And Lord, you're preaching your man. And your man preaching your word that we truly have seen and felt your arm in our midst this week. We give you glory. We give you thanks. Lord, thank you for Brother Steve and the folks at Panal. God, I'm glad you're big enough. You can be right here in the midst of us on top of this hill. Lord, you can be over yonder near Columbus in their midst at the same time and not be any more there and any less here or any more here, any less there. Because you're just a big God that loves to get in the midst. May it be our passion and desire that you're ever there, and we give you the glory for it. We thank you for what you've done. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Shake hands and go. You're at liberty if you've minded the Lord. Amen.